Well, thank you, Ed, for sharing with us, and it is just so encouraging to hear those stories about lives that have been transformed and by the work of the Gideons, when someone gets a Bible in their hands and how it changes them. Now, tell me if I'm imagining this, wasn't there a story about someone who was working on a roof and a student got a Gideon Bible and he threw it?
Yeah.
He threw it up on the roof, and the guy who was working on the roof, I don't know, some of this story. Anyway, he came to know the Lord because he picked up the Bible and I think it hit him. I just kind of thought that was a cool. I didn't imagine that. Neat how God's work goes. Thank you, Ed, for sharing with us. And again, he'll be in the back of the church with an open Bible, and any donations would be appreciated. And if you didn't bring or aren't prepared today, you can bring it and just put Gideon's in, and we'll make sure they get the check. So, you can bring it next week, too. Anyway, just thank you again, and it's exciting to hear the work of what is going on. So, I'm just going to keep it simple this morning, because I knew Ed would be sharing with us. And I have one question that I'm going to ask. And the question is, what makes the Bible so special? What makes the Bible so special? Why is it that the Bible transforms lives? Why is it that this group of men and women, because they also distribute Bibles in the hospitals, why is it that they're willing to go to such lengths as they do to hand out God's Word? Now, I have to admit, probably one of the scariest things that I can imagine. And you know how much I love college students. If you're a college student here, I love you because you're here. But, when I'm in Walmart, I don't care for them too much. Because, they don't even know you're there. But anyway, but to go on the campus, and, this isn't Corbin or Biola or Moody, but to go to WSU or go to U of I, and stand on that campus and hand out Bibles. I don't know about you, but I'd rather go to the dentist and have a tooth pulled without Novocaine than doing that. And yet, here's this group of men that do it annually. And I know why they ask for prayers, because just to get them there, I think. And God works through them. So why, now, Ed, you mentioned, about going and the authority is given to Jesus Christ, but the Bible, I mean, there's other things they could be doing, but they're handing out the Bible. Why is the Bible so special? And maybe you say, well, that's a dumb question for a pastor to ask, but I just want us to revisit that and look at it and realize what we have. And most of us have probably multiple of these in our home. I don't know how many I have in my office. I have a whole cabinet of Bibles that have a couple shelves on it that are to give away. If you need a Bible, talk to myself or Steve or Dean, and we will make sure that you get a Bible. If you have a friend that needs a Bible, talk to us. We will make sure. I'm not a Gideon, but I will give away Bibles. So, and I've got them in different translations and everything. But why is it so special? Well, there's five reasons, and I know there's a lot more. But I came up with five that we're just going to kind of briefly go through. And the first reason is, and this is probably the most obvious reason, is the Bible is God's Word. It's God's Word. If we go to 1 Peter 1, 20 and 21, it says, Peter writes, "But know this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. It is God's word. Now, from time to time, you'll hear an argument that goes something like this. Well, we don't have to, when we're talking about the New Testament, Paul wrote a lot of the letters in the New Testament, and Paul was prejudiced, and Paul had biases, and so we can dismiss what Paul said because Paul didn't have it right. Well, you know what? Paul didn't write his own words. He wrote in his own style. That's the thing that's really amazing about the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The authors wrote in their own style. Their own personalities show up in God's Word, in the Scriptures, but it is God's Word. It is, and there's a lot of scriptures in there that talk about it. Another one that's really important that you've heard about many times, or that you've heard, is 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. It says, all scripture is inspired by God. And actually, I probably don't need to read any more of that. All scripture is inspired by God. This is God's word to us. It's not Paul's word to us. It's not Peter's word to us. It's not Moses' word to us or David's word to us. This is God's word to us. And if you look up the rest of the scriptures that I have on your study sheet there, you'll see where it talks about how these men were inspired by the Holy Spirit to write the Bible. So first of all, we have the Bible is God's Word. Secondly, the Bible is truth. The Bible is truth. We look at Psalms 119, verse 151. As you can tell, Psalms 119 is a very long chapter. But this is what the psalmist writes. He says, you are near, O Lord, and your commandments are truth. And your commandments are truth. Then if we go to verse 60 of the same psalm, it says, the sum of your words, of your word is truth. And every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting. And then Jesus said in his prayer, when he was praying in John chapter 17 to the Father, just before he was to leave this world, and this is the prayer for believers, for the disciples and for believers, in chapter 17, verse 17 of John, it says, sanctify them in the truth. Then he says, your word is truth. Your word is truth. In this book, we find truth. Not a truth. Really, we find truth. Period. It's not a truth. It's not a good thing. Not a good book. It's truth in itself. It's what is true. We find in God's Word. Now again, a lot of people debate that. But God's Word is what we see in there. Is there's no falsehood in God's Word. It's truth. The third thing that we have learned about God's Word that makes it so special is that it is living and active. It is living and active. Now, Hebrews 4:12. So for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. I think that has a lot to say why a lot of people don't get into God's Word, why a lot of people don't study God's Word, is because it reveals the truth about ourselves, and we don't want to hear it. I know growing up, and I'm maturing, I'm getting old, so I better start maturing, I better start acting my age, but I know in my growing up years, there were part of the Bible that I would not read. And the reason I would not read it is because it was convicting me. And so I ignored it. Well, I've gotten to the place now where I realize that that's dumb. I shouldn't ignore God's Word and what it is saying to me. But God's Word is alive. It's not some stagnant work written 2,000 years ago. And that's another thing that you'll hear about, a criticism by, it was written thousands and thousands, parts of it 2,000 years ago, parts of it 4,000 years ago. How can a book written back then be have anything to say to us today? Well, we go back to the first thing. It is God's Word. And God is not locked in space and time like we are. He knows what is important to us. And even when he revealed things back to Moses and to David and then, you know, to John and Paul and Peter and James, the ones who wrote the scriptures, he knows what our needs were for today, even though it was written back then. He knows what we needed. And he provided it for us. God's Word is alive. 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring Word of God." The living Word of God. So we have Peter talking about this Word that is that we know as the Bible, and it is not a stagnant, dead work, but it is vital, it is important for us today. It is living. In fact, it is a source of life for us. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, Paul writes, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as words of men, but as it really was, words of God, which also performs its work in those in you who believe." So we say it's living and it's active. It's working in the hearts of those who believe. Now, that's cool. This is a living, active book. And the words in here affect us and change us. And as we learned in our Sunday school class this morning, transform us into the people that God wants to do. It's living and active. The fourth thing that we learn about God's Word is that God's Word is power. It's power, more precisely, it's the power of God. It's the power of God. Romans 1:16. Paul says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel." This is the gospel. "I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for the salvation to anyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's the power of God unto salvation. There's power in this book. There's no way to explain that someone picks up a book out of a nightstand, or it hits them on the head, or it's handed to them, or however they get it. And we've heard stories about how pages of it get torn up and handed out in prison. And someone who's about to commit suicide will read. They want to write a note on something, and the only thing they have is a page of the Bible, and before they write the note, they read it. And it transforms them. That's because it's the power of God's word unto salvation. 1 Corinthians 1:18, it says, "For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." The word of the cross, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is power. And finally, the last thing that I want to say about God's word, and again, I'm just touching the top of it. We could, again, take each one of these things and do a whole sermon series on it. But the last thing that I want to say is that the word of God, it is eternal. It is eternal. It is not going to go away. It is not going to be changed. It should not be changed. Let's put it that way. There are people who do want to try to change it into what they want it to be, but the Word of God, as it was proclaimed, as it was brought to the authors, was eternal, not to be changed. 1 Peter 1:24 and 25 says, and Peter is quoting out of the Old Testament, he says, "For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off." Now, this is fall, and things are starting to die, aren't they? I mean, you know, let's face it, things are starting to die. The grass is, well, I mean, if you water it, it's still green and that type of thing, but, you know, the wheat ripened, and it's been cut. It's done. It's dead. Our crops are being harvested because they've ripened, and they've fulfilled, and all that's left of them is their seed. And so their seed needs to be harvested. But we see that with grass, and this is all flesh is like grass. We are like grass. That's kind of a depressing thought, in a way. The flower falls off. But it says, verse 25, "But the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you." The word of the Lord endures forever. This can't be changed. It shouldn't be changed. Because it's eternal. When God said it, it was complete. We don't need to add to it or take away from it, because it is the word of God and it is eternal. Isaiah 40, verse 8 is where Peter gets that quote from, and it reads, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." You know, I heard once, and fortunately this came from a pastor. The pastor made the statement of, he loved the Word of God. He says, "I love the Word of God. I want to preserve the Word of God." And his way of preserving it was to say that it was written thousands of years ago and it's a good writing. But it may not be for us today, but he loved it and he wanted to preserve it. It's like, okay, so, and a lot of his logic was, well, a lot has happened in the last 2,000 years. And my question to him would be, and God doesn't know about it? Of course God knows about it. In fact, he knew it was going to change back when he wrote the Bible. So yes, the Bible is relevant for today. Not just for those times. Yes, there are some changes in the traditions of the people of those days, and some of the things that is talked about is like, we don't do those things nowadays, and so it doesn't have, but the truth of the Bible is current for today because it is eternal. Jesus writes in Matthew 25, says, in Matthew 24:35, it says, "The heavens and earth will pass away, but my words will not." You know, we like to think that this earth is kind of eternal. It's always been here and it always will be here. Well, the truth is not that's not the case. Now, oh yeah, hey, the world didn't end yesterday. Someone was talking about the world ending yesterday. Did you hear that? Did you know that? Yeah, there's someone predicting that the world was going to end yesterday. Evidently it didn't. We're here. Or if it did, it was a small event. Which I don't know how we could have missed it. But this world is going to pass away. Scientists even say that our sun, if it's going to go its natural course, will eventually burn out. And when the sun burns out, all life on the planets and in our solar system is going to cease. Of course, the only life is here on this earth. But it's going to cease. The world's thinkers say that and know that. And they don't believe that God is going to roll it up like a scroll, because he is. I mean, he's going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And I can't wait for that. But he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will not pass away. God's word is eternal. Not going to change. Doesn't need to change. We just simply need to obey it and to follow it. We don't need to interpret it so that it fits the way we think. We need to follow what it says. See, those are the things that make God's word so special. Those are the things that really, if it wasn't for God's word, this church wouldn't be here. We wouldn't exist. One of the core beliefs of this church is that this is the inspired word of God, that it is truth, and by it we can be saved. That's one of the core beliefs of this church. We have something so precious in our hands, and yet so often we ignore it. We don't look at it. We don't read it. And yet there are people in other parts of this world that would give anything to have a copy of God's word. They'd give anything. And a lot of us have copies collecting dust in our homes that we never bothered to open until Sunday. And even now, we put everything on the overhead. So you don't even have to open your Bible anymore. I would recommend that you do those. Bring your Bible. Open it up to the passages. Make sure that what I'm putting up there on that overhead is really what's in the Bible. Because how do you know it is? How do you know what I put up here is really in the Bible? Do you know I can make anything up and put a verse on it and put it up there? Unless you double check what I do. Now, honestly, I take it out of the Bible and I put it up. None of that is my words. They're all God's words. I just want to give you that assurance. But the question is, there are people who do change God's word. How do you know? You don't open your word and pray. How do you know what God wants you to do if you don't open up his word and read? You know, we have a precious gift. A special book right here in our presence. It's so special because of the things that we talked about, and I'm sure there's tons more things that I didn't mention about God's word. But just these things that we mentioned here, how can we not treat God's word as something profound, as something special, as the greatest book that has ever been written? Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Help us, Lord, to realize just how special it is. how important it is that it is a part of our lives. Father, I want to thank you for those who are willing to put out personal costs and give of their time to go to places and Lord, oftentimes are ridiculed for what they do. But Lord, they believe so much in your word that they're willing to sacrifice finances and time and personal comfort to give it out. Lord, thank you for the work of the Gideons. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us would pay more attention to your word, that we might realize the truth and the power that is in your word to transform our lives. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.